Good morning. Welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. Two very important people here today from CASA of the Pikes Peak region. CASA, of course, court-appointed special advocates. And joining me from CASA, communications manager Carrie Kahn is here. Hi, Carrie.
Hello, Renee.
It is so good to see you.
So good to see you. Thanks so much for having us.
Absolutely. And advocate Mark Verity is here. Hi, Mark.
Good morning, Renee.
I'm so glad both of you could come in today. And I think we need to hop in first, Carrie, because some folks may be familiar with CASA and what they do. Others certainly may not, but when we say court-appointed special advocates for children, these are individuals that really represent kids in court, right?
They do. Yeah. So I'm so happy to be here to share with all the good people out there about what we do. But like you said, CASA stands for court-appointed special advocates, and we recruit, train, and support members of the community who want to advocate in the court system for victims of child abuse and neglect. So these are kids that have been removed from their homes for their own safety by the Department of Human Services. And our advocates are, they're all volunteers, and they go through a pretty extensive training process. And then after training, they are sworn in by a judge as officers of the court. Wow. And then they're able to kind of just be a voice for these children that are going through this really traumatic time.
And what kind of... I'm sure it's completely, it varies obviously from case to case, but what are a lot of these kids, you know, say they were removed from their home because of an abusive situation. Their court appearances is to help them if they're located to another home, or are they all different types of court cases?
Yeah, so they've entered the, once they're removed from their homes, they enter foster care, and so they enter the family court system, and they're on something called a dependency and neglect docket. And the court proceedings are, they're in place to, you know, put them in the safest and most permanent place they can find. And sometimes the decisions being made are about, should the child go back to their biological parents? Should they go up for adoption? Should this child stay in the foster home where they are, or be moved to a residential treatment center? Should this child be split up from their siblings, or should we try to keep them together? So there are a lot of decisions being made that can really change the course of a child's life. And that's where CASA comes in. The CASA advocates kind of help. They go and they do research and they gather this information and they bring it back to the judge so that the judge has adequate enough information to make these big decisions.
So basically the voice for the kids, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, you're the voice for the kids. And we were talking before we started, Carrie and Mark, and it's hard to generalize.
It is.
You can't generalize these cases for these kids and why they are in this situation. But very interestingly, you said we are seeing an increase in this with kids ending up, you know, becoming a part of CASA and in the system, if you will, because of the opioid crisis, is that right?
Opioid crisis is a big cause of the kids going into the system. Mental health, just abuse. Families have, you know, cycles of abuse. It's generational. If it happened to your mom and dad, then you, it stands a good chance that you're going to carry that forward into the future generations. But one thing that I don't think a lot of people realize is that the El Paso County, so the Pikes Peak region actually has the highest number of calls made to the child abuse hotline in all of Colorado. So we had, last year, we had over 16,000 calls come in. And hundreds, you know, not all of these calls represent a child being removed, but hundreds of kids.
But something that needs to be looked at, right?
It's something that needs to be looked at, exactly.
That's incredible. And do you know the number from the 16,000 calls that were called into the hotline that it kind of narrows down to the kids need help?
So the Department of Human Services, when they get these calls, they'll be the ones that look into it, and they'll start, in some cases, they'll start an investigation. But it's at any given time, there are about 900 children in our community that have been removed from their homes and placed in foster care.
Well, and that number alone is very startling.
It is.
And of course, you're seeing children of all ages, aren't you?
Yeah, 0 to 18, yes.
Wow, even infants, just newborns.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, that is so sad. See, that makes me want to cry. And then when you're an advocate, And we're going to talk, and Mark, you know, you've been working with children, and we're going to talk about how that, but when you're an advocate, you are with that child or with that family through the whole process, which is what is incredible about CASA, isn't it? So they're with that same person, which they need.
Yes, these kids they haven't had a lot of stability in their lives. They've had people, you know, disappear on them, or they haven't had a lot of adults that are considered dependable. And then even after they enter the system, a lot of times they'll change caseworkers. So one thing we ask of our CASA volunteers is that they're able to commit themselves to the case for the duration of it, because the last thing these kids need is someone else moving on, and then they have to change people again.
Right.
So,
give them that stability.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which I'm sure is hugely impactful. I know, Mark, you were working with a child, and to be with that child through the whole process, was that very impactful for that child, which we'll talk about kind of it was your first one, but did you see an impact with being with that child through the whole process?
Yeah, for sure. He definitely looked for someone to come stand up for him and stand by him and be his advocate, be the one that was focused on him.
On him.
That's right.
Right, which I'm sure a lot of these kids may feel like we've been talking about don't feel that way. There is nobody in their corner, right?
That's right. There are so many amazing professionals working in this system, but as an advocate focused on him, he gets your sole attention.
Right.
And so it's good for him or her.
Right. Absolutely. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about becoming an advocate, becoming a volunteer, how you can support CASA. Because maybe somebody, Carrie, they might be thinking, well, if I can't commit 100% of the time to being a CASA advocate, there's other ways they can help. Absolutely.
There are, yes.
Perfect. So we'll have more with Carrie and Mark when we come back next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today, we are talking with CASA, Court-Appointed Special Advocates for Children, right here in the Pikes Peak region. Joining us from CASA, Carrie Kahn is here. Carrie, it's great to see you.
Great to see you, Renee. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for coming in. And Advocate Mark Verity is here. Hello, Mark.
Good morning, Renee.
Now, Mark, I do want to ask you, because you, I guess, in the advocate world, you would be considered a newbie, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I've been an advocate for about a year and a half.
Which is fantastic. Yeah. So what inspired you to become an advocate for kids in the community?
Yeah, well, I have deep roots in this community. I'm part of five generations to live and work and go to school and play here. And
that's fantastic.
The city of Colorado Springs is a great place full of beautiful people. And so looking for a way to give back to this community.
Yeah. So what inspired you when you heard about CASA and the advocate program? I'm sure it was obviously most people's going to be, I need to help the kids.
Yeah, that's right. I consider myself privileged with opportunity and fortunate. And unfortunately, there are kids who haven't had that opportunity. So that's the inspiration is really there to, give something back to those kids who haven't been as fortunate as I have.
And it's so inspiring for you to hear you stepping up and wanting to be an advocate. And Carrie, let's talk about the numbers really quick, and then we'll talk about the process as well. But of course, advocates are always needed.
Of course.
But we were kind of talking some numbers, and male advocates are definitely needed, right? So advocates always, but if some men would love to step up and be advocates, that would help be tremendous, right? Like Mark.
Yeah, last year we had... 51% of the kids we served last year were boys, and only 14% of the volunteers were men. And so I think it's important to pair male advocates up with foster boys when possible, because the male advocates have an opportunity to show these boys what kind of good, responsible adult they can become. One thing we like to say is that you can't be what you can't see. So by showing these young boys how they could be, they can change, they can change
their
course.
It's an influence, a big influence. Absolutely.
It is.
Yeah. A role model, right? Kind of being a role model.
Yeah, that's right. I would say there's two pieces to that. One is men have a responsibility to these boys. Too many boys in our community are in foster care because of abuse perpetrated on them by men. And so, we have a responsibility, but
even higher than that, these boys want you to be there. Like, they want you to be there.
Right.
So we have a responsibility to be there, and they want you to be there. And they're the reality is they're underserved by men. Right now in our community. And so, yeah, we would definitely like to get more advocates,
male advocates in there.
Right.
So what kind of a process was it, Mark? Because I'm sure obviously you had the conversation with your family and said, I would love to be an advocate.
Right.
Because it is a commitment. It's a commitment to these kids, the community. And I'm sure there's family involvement there. But what was the process for you when you said, I do want to be an advocate? I want to be there for these kids. What was the process for
you? Well, there's certainly an application process. Mm-hmm. There's an interview. I'll never forget my interview when I went in. You know, they ask you a number of personal questions, and they're kind of probing questions. And to be honest, I found it to be a great opportunity to get away from what I normally do, which is engineering. And it was something outside of what I do. So application, there's an interview, and then there's training. There's 30 hours of training involved. The organization does a great job in preparing you to take on that role. They, you know, like I said, it's really outside of my realm or my scope or what I do every day as an engineer. And the organization does a great job in training you. And then at that point, you are sworn in. You're actually an officer of the 4th and Judicial District. At that point, and off you go.
That's incredible, though. I mean, being a court appointed advocate, I mean, that really is impactful. I would think, and I'd probably be walking about, I'm a court appointed advocate. Really, I would wear that as a badge of honor, right?
Right, you do. You feel important and special because these kids are amazing, and particularly the boy that I advocated for recently. He's an amazing human, and the opportunity to represent him and speak for him really does make you feel important.
Absolutely. Yeah, to be that impactful.
Right.
And Carrie, when you're looking at, I'm guessing there's a process in pairing these kids with an advocate, right? Kind of like looking at maybe personalities or backgrounds, mm-hmm. or is there a process?
There is. All of our new advocates fill out preference sheets. So, like, some people would prefer a younger child. Others are totally cool working with teenagers. Some people are comfortable working with a child who's had a certain kind of abuse, but maybe not another kind. So they do tell us our preferences or their preferences, and we do match them up with a case that they'd be comfortable with, because the last thing we want is for an advocate to get a case that they're not going to carry through with. The last thing we want is for them to be uncomfortable, because then they would risk not completing the case with the child.
With that child,
we do match them really well.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, and looking at the whole picture, and then like you said, you try and match boys with male advocates. But again, we kind of need some male advocates.
Right, when possible. I mean, there are a lot of boys matched with female advocates who have done amazing things for them. But it would be nice to have more men to match them with, for sure.
So what we're going to do is we are going to take a news break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how you can find out about the process, become a volunteer, also how you can help out with CASA. That and a lot more coming up with Carrie and Mark next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Good morning and welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today we are talking with Carrie Kahn from CASA, Court Appointed Special Advocates for Children, and Mark Verity, who is an advocate for CASA. Thank you both so much for coming in. And Carrie, 30th anniversary for CASA.
It is.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
So what is some of the history? Why was CASA started?
So CASA was actually started in 1977 by a judge in Seattle who was seeing these victims of child abuse and neglect come through his courtroom, and he got frustrated because he was making such huge decisions on behalf of these kids, and he didn't feel like he had enough information to make these decisions. So after so many sleepless nights, he came up with the idea of finding volunteers from the community who could be trained to go find the information he needed and bring it back to the courtroom. So that's when CASA was born. And what they found after they you know, implemented it was that not only were the CASA volunteers helping the judge make more sound decisions, but they were also speeding up the cases.
Wow. Because they have the information there.
Right.
Right.
So the kids were getting placed in safe, stable, permanent homes faster than the children that did not have a volunteer advocate. But that was 1977. And then it came to Colorado Springs in 1989 when the Junior League of Colorado Springs was doing kind of a research project to figure out how victims of child abuse here locally could be better represented in court. And they decided that CASA would be the best solution. So the Junior League got it started, and then El Pomar Foundation provided the first of many charitable gifts to get things going.
Right.
At that time, we had one part-time employee, 21 volunteers, and we helped 43 kids in that first year.
In the first year.
In the first year.
Wow, look at that.
Well, fast forward to now, 3 decades later, and we have 26 employees, 4 programs with 400 volunteers, and guess how many kids we've served over the last 30
years? I cannot imagine. A lot.
More than 18,000.
More than 18,000.
Right.
And a lot of those, and I wonder, and it's all with relationship and building and being an advocate, but I'm sure a lot of those kids too, Carrie, like, you know where they are today.
We do keep in touch.
They stay connected.
With some of them, yes.
Yeah. I mean, and how many kids? Over 18,000 children.
Over 18,000. And yeah, and there, that's 18,000 lives that have been
positively
changed.
Impacted mm-hmm. and changed.
Right.
And Mark, doing your first case, I'm sure that kind of had to be a little bit overwhelming too, knowing that as well.
Yeah, it sure was. Heading into it, you're nervous.
Yeah.
And but you settle in real quick once you get to know the child and
they get to know you.
That's right.
It, yeah.
You know, it's difficult work. You get to know their parents. You get to know all the people in their lives. Their teachers. Their caregivers. You get to know all the folks surrounding them, and you know, it's difficult, and it surely takes time. But once you see the smile on that kid's face, it's like I said, you settle in real quick, and you realize the importance of what you're doing.
Well, and seeing the, as we were kind of talking in the break, it's everything to work to a positive resolution.
That's right.
And I'm sure seeing that step sometimes could be like, very positive, and then other times it's like we just took 2 steps back.
That's
right?
Correct. Yeah, it's definitely an up and down process, but the system aims to put them in a safe permanent home, and the resolution is worth the ups and downs for sure.
Absolutely, and you can tell that you've been greatly impacted by it.
I have. It's you know, it was I felt like it was good for my CASA kiddo to have me in his life. It was also good for me to have him in my life. He's an amazing kid. He's charming, bright, intelligent, happy, optimistic, and his energy was definitely an amazing part of the experience for me.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's amazing, isn't it, Carrie, how these kids can impact so many other people? Because we were kind of talking before, you guys, and both of you can jump in. It's like, I'm sure sometimes with these kids, when you meet them and the situations they're coming from, it's like they're already little mini adults, aren't they? Some of them. In survival mode,
yeah.
and needing to advocate for themselves. And then to have somebody come along with them, it's like, mm-hmm. wait a minute.
They've been put in very adult situations, a lot of them. And especially sometimes you have the older sibling has been put in a situation where they are the primary caretaker for their younger siblings. Yeah. And it's hard.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And having to grow up that young.
Right.
Yeah. So let's talk about the process. If somebody is thinking, mm-hmm. I would love to do this, like Mark is making an impact in helping these kids. And if they're thinking, okay, I would like to be an advocate, I would like to volunteer, is the first steps, like you said, making an appointment and talking with somebody or filling out the application?
Right. So we have... Actually, the first thing I would recommend would be to attend a volunteer information session. We
okay.
have one coming up on June 26th.
Oh, so what, next week?
That is next week,
yeah.
Yes. It's at lunch. It's from noon to 1 at our building.
Okay.
But you can go on our website and find out more information about it. Our website is casappr.org.
So PPR.org. Okay.
PPR stands for Pikes Peak Region.
Perfect.
But yeah, attend a volunteer information session and then you'll learn a whole lot. You'll hear from experienced advocates like Mark here. You'll hear from staff. You'll get the information on the requirements and everything like that. And then after you make the decision to do it, you will fill out an application online, be called in for an interview. And then once you get through your interview, you begin a 2-week training process.
Right. And then you do have to go through, and let's be clear, you have background checks. And like,
right.
What were you saying, Mark? Like when you went through your background, you were also being background checked for something else. You're like, I feel like the safest person in the world.
That's right. That's right.
Obviously, you have to go through that process.
Yes, there's definitely a background check. We do want the safest people in the world. So.
Absolutely. So is there somebody, and of course, all volunteers are wanted and needed. And if you have, you want to help children, this is a fantastic way to do it. But is there like a certain individual that really you've seen like that would really benefit and the kids would benefit from doing this, it being an advocate?
Yeah, you know, all of our volunteers are, they come from all walks of life. They're in different stages of their lives. They're all different ages, different backgrounds, different cultures. The one thing they have in common, though, is that they all just have a heart for children. So, no, there's not really like a one typical kind
right,
of volunteer.
Of
they're just, they're the most incredible people I've ever met in my life. I can't tell you how uplifting it is to go be at my office every day with these. They're like the best people in our community. They all come volunteer at CASA.
Right.
It's they're all different. So if you're at least 21 and you have a heart for kids, and you can dedicate, we say, you know, on average, it's about 4 to 6 hours a week. A lot of people are retired, but there are also a lot of people that have full-time jobs with young children of their own. So it's really just, can you make the commitment and do you love kids?
Absolutely. And do some advocates, because Mark, we were talking, you do one advocate, or excuse me, one child at a time, but there are some, right, that do handle more cases than just one, right, at a time.
Yeah, I'd say most advocates get one case at a time, but yeah, there are some that have more. But a case can have one child, and it can also have a sibling group.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
Then you get one case, but you might have 3 or 4 kids on it. So it just, and that's, again, something that you can put on your preference sheet. Like, do you want, can you have more than one kid? You can let us know if you're comfortable with that, so.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And Mark, now are you ready? It sounds like you're getting your next case. How exciting.
I am ready. Yeah. Couple weeks here. Over the next couple weeks, I'll definitely learn more about this young 17-year-old boy who needs an advocate.
Absolutely. And you really impacted me. And by the way, if you need to hear the first part of the conversation, you can always go to our podcast, KRDO.com, look under the radio tab, and we'll have the podcast of this up later. But you really impacted me, Mark, when you said, especially for boys, 51% last year, right, Carrie,
mm-hmm,
in the system were boys who were abused or whatever the situation was by a man.
That's right.
And this is huge. They need this positive male influence.
They need it and they want it. They want you to come alongside them. They want you to come stand up for them, stand by them, and show them something different than what they've seen from other caregivers or males in their lives. They want a better example. They want you to show that you can be reasonable, respectful, human, and a decent man.
Because if they have not seen that, then they may continue that.
They will go with what they know for sure. And this is your opportunity to let them know that there's something different.
Absolutely. Okay, we gotta take running over. We got to take a quick break. We'll come back. More with Carrie and Mark next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Good morning and welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today we are talking about, and with CASA, court-appointed special advocates for children right here in the Pikes Peak region. Carrie Kahn is here. Mark Verity is here. And Mark, obviously we've been talking about how you were inspired to become an advocate.
Right.
And I would love for you to help others understand how important this is, especially like we've been talking about male advocates really need men.
Right, right. Well, I can talk a little bit about my most recent case. It was a 13-year-old boy, happy, intelligent, charming, optimistic. He has one of the brightest smiles you will ever see. Really an amazing kid. You know, he's a typical teenage boy. Video games are huge in his life. But, you know, life hasn't always been fair to him.
Right.
Imagine some of the worst that life has to offer. You know, some of the things we talk about, he's lived it. And
that most of us could not imagine.
That's right.
At 13, he's gone through that.
At 13, he's gone through that. And so over a year, year and a half, I got to come stand by him and get to know him and his situation and the people around him. His case closed a few weeks ago. He's been returned back home in a safe and permanent home.
In a very positive way.
In a very positive way.
Good. And that impact on you has to be tremendous.
Yeah.
Knowing to stand by him through that whole process. And
It really was. You know, it's good to give to this community. This community is amazing, and it feels good to give.
Absolutely. And so, Carrie, I was just looking at the website, and it looks like I'm going to call it a class. You're like, probably like, Renee, they're not called classes. But it looks like actually a class just graduated, right, from the training. So another class is... Can you tell we really want volunteers? That's what we're aiming for today.
Yes, we want volunteers. Our next training class begins, and yes, we can call it a class. It begins on July 22nd. And what that looks like is you're going to do evenings on Mondays and Wednesdays and then full day Saturdays. So do that for 2 weeks. And then you go, after the training is complete, you go to the court. You get sworn in by a judge. It's a very cool ceremony.
I bet.
Yes, but we'd love to get people in our July 22nd class. So,
and so again, the information meeting, and this is a lunch,
it's
right?
It's a lunch. Yeah, you have to please RSVP if you'd like to come so that we order enough food. But we are having a lunch information session on June 26th, which is next week. And you can go get the details of that at our website, casappr.org.
Now, if someone is listening and they want to help out, but maybe they cannot right now be an advocate... Mm-hmm. There are absolutely other ways that they can help CASA
absolutely.
And help the kids.
Yes, we have three other programs. We have a program called the Supervised Exchange and Parenting Time Program. Basically, what this is when a non-custodial parent receives a court order for supervised visits with their child, we facilitate those visits in our office. And so we have volunteers that are the official facilitators. They go through a similar training process as our advocates. But the schedule for that is a little bit more flexible. You could put a lot of time into it, but you could also just do it one night a week.
Perfect.
So that's something else that you could do. We have a program called the Milton Foster Children's Fund, which aims to provide opportunities for enrichment and education for foster kids. It kind of gives them a chance to build, you know, self-esteem and resiliency, which are both important factors in becoming healthy, contributing adults. And a lot of the volunteer opportunities through our Milton Foster Children's Fund are working with teenagers who will likely age out of the foster care system at 18.
As we've been talking about, heartbreaking.
It breaks
my heart when they age out.
It does. Now, and if they did not find a safe, permanent home to be in, they're just kind of, you know, they're turned loose into the world at 18. And so we do have... a lot of programming for those kids to teach them life skills. We offer, you know, resume writing classes or how to go grocery shopping and cook a meal.
Balance a checkbook.
Yeah, personal finance. So we do offer programs and there's all sorts of opportunities through that. You can also learn more about that on our website. And then we have a store. So part of the Milton Foster Children's Fund is a store in our office. It's called The Hanger. It's so cool. It's we take gently used or new items from the community, and it's like this. It's this cute little boutique with clothes and shoes and backpacks and makeup and stuff that teenagers might want and need. Because a lot of times these foster kids, they when they go into foster care, like they don't get to take
their stuff.
Yeah, they don't get a moving van with all their awesome belongings.
U-Haul's
they get
not
a
showing
bag.
Up, is what you're saying?
Right? Yeah. No, they're not. So they don't have. They don't get to pick out their own clothes. They don't, you know, and you want them to feel good about themselves. So they get to come shopping in our store, which is called The Hanger, for free. They don't have to pay for the clothes, but we have volunteers that work in The Hanger as well.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, you guys, really quick. But again, give the website and really quick the lunch to hear more about volunteering. June 26th, noon to 1, go to casappr.org to register, right? That's where all the other information is.
That's right.
And they can reach out if they have questions.
Oh, absolutely. Please
Perfect.
Do.
Mark, thanks for sharing your story.
Thank you.
And appreciate you being an advocate. It's fantastic work.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Okay, coming up tomorrow on The Extra, continuing our series with the Pikes Peak Workforce Center, how important networking is to your job search. That's tomorrow on The Extra on KRDO News Radio.